Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Thursday, July 22nd, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter Into Action, page 73, paragraph 2, which begins with "The inconsistency is made worse." Today's readers are Minette M. for the 12 Steps, Rosalia P. for the 12 Traditions, Ellen D., Nancy L., and Eileen M. The reference number for the 10 a.m. meeting for yesterday, that would be Wednesday, July 21st at 10 a.m., is 17397. That's 17,397. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting for Thursday, July 22nd, is 17403. That's 17,403. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Minette M. to please read the 12 steps.
Hello, my name is Minette M. I'm a compulsive overeater from Oklahoma, and here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service. Pass.
Thank you, Minette M. And Rosalia P. will now read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, I'm Rosalia P., compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Rosalia P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1 function on your telephone, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Into Action on page 73, and we're reading and commenting on paragraph 2. So I'm going to ask Ellen D. to begin our reading and commenting, please.
Hi, this is Ellen D. The inconsistency is made worse by the things he does on his sprees. Coming to his senses, he is revolted at certain episodes he vaguely remembers. These memories are a nightmare. He trembles to think someone might have observed him. As fast as he can, he pushes these memories far inside himself. He hopes they will never see the light of day. He is under constant fear and tension. That makes for more drinking. This is Ellen D., recovered in Texas. And yeah, I mean, the inconsistency for me is the dishonesty of having a different outer life versus an inner life. And revolted at certain episodes. Yeah, I mean, I remember stuffing my face with food when I was cleaning up after dinner in the kitchen alone, and then someone would walk in the room and I'd have to walk to the other end of the kitchen or stick my head in the refrigerator acting busy, but really I was furiously chewing and swallowing in case I needed to be able to talk to them or respond to them. Or times when I would be rushing with a plate of food into my closet because someone came home earlier than I expected them to. And just the stress of, you know, did they observe me? Do they know? I mean, I don't know, but it caused a lot of stress inside me. And then I would be annoyed with them for bothering me. And I didn't always treat them well. And then I had regret and remorse because of how I had treated them. And when all of this is far inside me, so they don't see the light of day, they're still in my thoughts repeatedly. I'm still dealing with them. You know, no one else might know. And maybe I'm burying them. But even though I'm burying them in me. So I was under constant fear and tension, which, of course, makes for more eating. And that reminds me of the doctor's opinion where it talks about, you know, I'm looking for ease and comfort that I can get from a few bites. And I'm just grateful today that honesty is better than dishonesty, and bringing the issues to light is how I can see the truth and then let it go in steps 10 and 11 and get relief and just, you know, living differently and getting the help that I need. And it's just amazing. I'm so grateful for recovery. And thank you for this opportunity to share, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ellen D. And so now we're time to open for sharing. And though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others might have a chance to share their experience too. So if you haven't shared since Monday and you'd like to comment on this paragraph, please press star 1 to unmute your phone and let us know.
Hi, Debbie P. from Indiana.
Debbie P. Anybody else?
Linda B.
Linda B. Plenty of room for more. Star one to unmute if you'd like to comment. Okay, well, let's have Debbie P. and Linda B. get us started, and other people can share their thoughts after. Please go ahead, Debbie P.
Good morning. This is Debbie P. from Indiana, gratefully recovering compulsive overeater. I can really relate to the inconsistency. My life has been a lot of inconsistent actions and words and so forth. And then after the food fog, or I should say the food high, then having remorse, not wanting to realize what it is I had really done, my behaviors, my actions, and so forth to those people closest to me, those that I love the most. And as fast as I could, I would shove them down, and usually shove them down with more food. I just didn't want to acknowledge how bad it had gotten. So I'm fortunate that I'm one of us that has been given the solution to get out of all that, because it was like a merry-go-round in my head. So I would use this for an excuse to eat compulsively and then feel bad or worse about myself, and then eat compulsively again so I could eat worse or feel worse about myself again and beat up on myself again. And so anyway, that was my vicious cycle. And, you know, having abstinence now for almost 90 days, that chatter in between my ears is gone, and I don't feel the need to, you know, resonate about my behaviors. I have a way to make that right now. So thank you for your service, and thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Debbie P. Linda B. is up next. Please share with us, Linda.
Hi, Linda B., a compulsive overeater from Ontario, Canada. The line in this, these memories are a nightmare, and I still recall an incident where I had invited my children to come for dinner, and I prepared one of their favorite items that they enjoy, and it was a very stressful time in our relationship, and it was wonderful that they were there, and I was so glad that they had come. And when they left, I was just in so much upset and emotional turmoil, because I hadn't wanted them to leave yet. I wanted them to stay longer and so we could talk and share. And but they chose to leave, and so I immediately consumed the remaining dish that I prepared for them. And to the point where I just stuffed myself and so uncomfortable to all I could do was manage to go just lay on the bed, and I just fell asleep in this food nightmare and woke up an hour or so later feeling absolutely horrible and sick. But it was a nightmare. I still think back on that day and how painful it all was and how sick I had made myself. And I don't want to do that anymore. And that's why I come to this meeting every morning now. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Linda B. So though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days and you'd like to comment on Into Action, page 73, paragraph 2, which begins with the inconsistency is made worse, please press star 1 to unmute and let us know.
Danielle M.
Danielle M.
Elizabeth T.
Elizabeth T.
Margot P.
Margot P. Anybody else? All right. Let's go with this then. For we have Daniel M. followed by Elizabeth T. and Margot P. Please share with us, Danielle.
Hi, my name is Danielle, and I am a compulsive overeater. And I have appreciated people sharing this morning, and I appreciate the opportunity to share myself. I can remember so many times where I just would eat incredible amounts of food, and then I would go on my couch. Now, this would be in the evening time was when it usually happened, and actually this happened not that long ago. I would just be so full that I fell asleep, and it was like I would wake up later on and I would just feel absolutely horrible, and it was like as much willpower as I could come up with, I would probably do it again and again, and I did it again and again. And so for me, sometimes it's hard to talk about because I have been in the program for a little while, but it does feel like a place of honesty. And that is something that I have learned in this program, is that I can choose to be honest with my food. And that's something that my sponsor has mentioned. That's the one thing you can do perfectly is be honest. And I have appreciated that, because when working this program, it has been challenging at different times doing the steps and looking at things. And so I feel grateful for right now that I haven't done that last night, but it's still available there. I could do it if I wanted to. And if I don't really keep with the program, I will. I mean, that's just the honest truth. I will go back there very easily, because it's just like, it's almost like an innate thing where I just go to the food. That's the first thing I want to go to comfort myself or to take care of myself. And so for me, it takes a lot of thought about thinking the food through, and then also a good thing is pausing when I feel like I want to have that first bite, so I can remember all these things. So I need to have a short memory, and I need to remember all these things that I used to do with food, and I need to also be able to share them, because that's what helps me in my program. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Danielle M. Elizabeth T. is up next, followed by Margot P.
Hi, this is Elizabeth T. from Minneapolis. And I just wanted to share that one of the things that I'm becoming very aware of as I work with others is just the beauty of this program, in that they reflect back to me, or things bubble up, memories bubble up from my past, inconsistencies or episodes that I either push down. One in particular relates to compulsive food behaviors. So many, many years ago, decades ago, my dear younger sister was graduating from high school. I had binged prior to her high school graduation. And due to having binged, I thought it was better to go exercise as much as possible, to exercise off the calories, than actually show up and be at my sister's graduation. The beauty of this program and working with others and coming to these meetings and reading these kind of paragraphs is that these sort of memories bubble up, and I'm able to look at them, and I'm going to be able to go back and make amends for that kind of selfishness that actually compulsive overeating and compulsive food behaviors, kind of prompts me to do, or has historically prompted me to do. The last thing I'd like to say is, choices, the food made choices for me. I valued I value showing up in relationships, and yet over and over and over again, the food, you know, once I started, the food kind of took off, and I, you know, and it made choices for me, or I made choices based on my compulsive overeating and my compulsive food behaviors. I really appreciate this meeting. Thank you for letting me share. The only other thing I would like to do is just celebrate the fact that it has been 1 year since I've been coming to vision meetings, working the steps, and having what people are talking about, which is this food neutrality. And I'm grateful to God and to all of you for being here. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth T. Thank you for sharing. Margo P. is up next, and after that, we'll take another lineup on page 73, paragraph 2, the inconsistency. So, Margo P., please share with us. Margo P., star 1 to unmute.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you now. Thank you, Margo.
Hi,
Margo.
My name is Margo. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm grateful to be on this call. I haven't shared for a while. It was like 2 or 3 months, 1 month or so. And I've been using a lot of excuses about my job. Busy, busy, and today I'm just grateful that I have a day off. But I'm on call just in case they need me. Inconsistency, you know, when I lost my son last year and I lost the program, I relapsed, and that I was very consistent at the time, but then after that I had a relapse, and so it took me a while to get back into the program to be consistent with my food plan. And then it's about like 3 or 4 months already, for the grace of God, I'm still abstinent. And I've done a lot of going through some challenging with the food now, with the food plan and changes with my food plan. And so it's making me more like that I need to be here, that I need to be here, because if living in my own device, like I said, not being consistent with my food plan, or not being consistent with the calls, or not being consistent with my sponsor, or being honest with her, and what I'm going through with fears and tensions in my life, I have to be in recovery. And this is what recovery is all about, to be here, to listen what others have to share. So I'm just grateful to be there at this call. And today I'm still absent for another day. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Margo P. Glad you're here. Okay, so we're taking the lineup on page 73, paragraph 2. Who'd like to comment on that?
Charles H.
Charles H.
Wendy M.
Wendy M.
Denise D.
Denise D.
Craig F.
Craig F. Anybody else? Okay, so we've got Charles H., Wendy M., Denise D., and Craig F. And please share with us, Charles.
Thank you very much for your service. So the inconsistency I think the author is talking about it connects to the paragraph from the previous day. You know, being double-minded, because, you know, I hear people on the line, you know, I'm so recovered, dun, dun, dun. I hardly have resentments or doing my nightly review and there's no issues. I'm just walking up the street. I'm like Fred, but without the alcohol, everything is fine. I'll have no issues. That means I'm God. I don't have to do this. If I don't have any of these issues or any of these inconsistencies, why do I have to do this inventory and send it to people? Seems like I'm bragging. I'm human. I embrace my feelings. I embrace my humanness. And, you know, sometimes I send out my my 10-step reviews and my 11-step reviews, and people, they call me, especially from Vision, oh, you okay? Oh, my God. I said, I'm fine. I'm fine now, but the next storm is right up the road. You know, so as a human being, it's perfect for me to be imperfect and to use this program on a daily basis. Now, I don't know how much 10 steps anybody else need to do, but I know I average about 4 to 5 with the fears involved, and that's fine. So I know that the kryptonite is right around the corner, and the kryptonite today is not food, thank you, God, but it's the buildup of my human emotions. And the inconsistency is, oh, yeah, I'm fine, and lying and being dishonest about my feelings because I want to jack some manipulation from some finite person like me. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles H. Appreciate your share. Okay, so we have Wendy M. up next and followed by Denise D. Please share with us, Wendy.
Good morning. It's Wendy M., recovering in this program. Thank you for your service. I'm in Boulder, Colorado. So what I don't want to tell you, right, this paragraph is about what I don't want to tell you. And I'll just say one thing first in terms of recovery. I remember having, like, parties, people coming over all the time. And at the end, when they left, thank God they left, you know, how dare they come over? How dare they have needs? How dare this be hard for Wendy? I think I couldn't get the food in me fast enough once they left. You know, I'd have probably a small plate of something, but then I went for it, you know, in the kitchen afterwards. Or the other is, like, I'll do the dishes so that they can't see me, so that I can shove as much food down my throat as possible. That is not me today, thank you, God. But I will tell you what is me, and I'm not happy to tell you. It says here, he trembles to think one might have observed him. Oh, my God, last night even, I was the actor. I performed a show, and my dog was getting way too hyper, and I didn't like the feedback I was getting from the show. I literally tugged on my little puppy's fur. I'm not happy to tell you that, but I have to tell somebody that, or I'm going to go eat eventually. Like, it's not okay to take my rage out on my dog, or when I'm walking him and pulling him to get my way. I mean, I don't want you guys to know this. Don't observe this. Don't look, you know, or driving and looking at my cell phone while I'm driving. Super selfish shit, right? And what's going to get me out of that? Making, like I just heard, doing those 10 steps, calling you guys and telling you the truth about what is happening behind closed doors. You know, I can look good on the outside. We all can. Somebody said yesterday, like, my 3-minute share, I'm looking good. I'm looking really, really recovered. But it's what I do those other 24 hours or 23 hours and some minutes, you know. I tremble to think somebody has observed me. And that's where the rubber meets the road. Can I have everybody observe this? Is this observable, you know, or am I going to also be just as inconsistent as possible, you know, be the actor who has, you know, running this double life? So that's what the gift of this program gives me. And every time I tell you the truth about pulling on my dog's fur, I get to God. That's the point of this whole darn program, is when I tell you the truth and I don't hold that secret in that you can't observe me with that, that's when I get God. And that's when I get to have the experience of God and then give that away to the next person so that they can get the freedom that we've got to get freedom from ourselves. I have to get freedom from myself. I can no longer hold on to all of this, these tactics that I'm trembling about. I can no longer tremble. My life cannot be about a secret that I tremble about, because if you see it, you won't like me. That's not the
gentle
point.
Gentle reminder.
Great. The point of the program is to get to God, and we do it by being honest about these things that we're hiding. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Wendy M. Denise D., you're up now. Up next. Followed by Craig S.
Yes, this is Denise D. from Florida, and I am a compulsive overeater. And, of course, the inconsistency that they're talking about here is what they were referring to in the previous paragraph of the double life and being an actor. And the inconsistency I still feel because I don't have as much physical recovery as I have emotional and mental recovery, which is just a really strange way to say my abstinence isn't very good. And I still find in recovery, I'm still wearing this facade that I don't want to say that very often. And instead, on meetings, I share about whatever the topic is and don't constantly say I'm not clean with the food. But that's the reality. The other thing that struck me was this constant fear and tension. My mother, I just found out, has a mass in her colon, and it's going to be 3 to 5 days until we know what it is. But the cancer doctors are already talking to her because the assumption is that it is cancer, and she is 83. So I would ask for prayers for Faye, for those of you who pray. And I just feel that fear and tension, and I just have to keep turning that over to God. And with that, I will pass, and I thank all of you who are doing service on the meeting.
Thank you very much, Denise D., and God bless Faye. Okay, Craig F. is up next, and after Craig, we'll take more shares on page 73, paragraph 2. Please share with us, Craig.
Thank you. This is Craig F., recovered in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Thanks for having this meeting, giving me a chance. Like a lot of people, I think I was raised with a very severe idea of honesty. In other words, probably the most important lesson that my parents, my grandparents, and even my great-grandparents, and I remember them well, gave us was don't embarrass the family, and you know, don't tarnish the family name. And a big part of that was, in other words, be honest, be you know, somebody whose word is gold, and that because you're representing the family. And so I was raised with the severe idea of honesty, but it was cash register honesty. It certainly wasn't honesty around my feelings or who I am, or certainly not honesty about what I ate. You know, in other words, there were certain things that I could cheat on in life and not embarrass the family name, quote unquote. And so I, but you know it's not honest. And so that sets up that dichotomy that sets up this stew of insanity inside me, you know, when I know that I'm not being honest about what I am, who I am, and what I feel. You know, it triggers it triggers my ego, you know, and my ego is my enemy. My ego has established in me a persona that it wants to defend. I want you to see me a certain way. So therefore, my ego says, this is how I want you to see me. And so I'm going to lie, and I'm going to be dishonest and cheat in order to defend that persona. And yet I'm going to feel guilty inside about that. And how do you solve all that? How do you make those guilt feelings go away when you're doing that? And that is, you take your drug of choice, and that way you don't have to feel. And you know, I lived that life for way too many years, and it still crops up in odd ways today. You know, if I feel attacked, my ego will step forward and say, no, that's not how that happened, you know. And, you know, my dad always said that he knew if I was guilty of something because I just took the punishment and shut up. But that if I thought I was not guilty, that I argued like a Philadelphia lawyer And
gentle reminder.
Thank you. And you know, that's my ego defending itself. And you know, today I don't have to live that way. Today I can live a life centered on growth. I'm not perfect. I'll never be perfect, but I can grow. I can grow a little bit each day and grow towards that ideal of surrender and acceptance and a relationship with my higher power. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Craig S. Okay, so we have time for about four more shares. And who'd like to comment on page 73, paragraph 2?
Donna W.
Laura R. Donna W. Laura R.
Leslie W.
Leslie W.
Joanne B.
And Joanne B. Thank you very much. Let me just write this down and then we'll get started. All right. So I have Donna W., Lori R., Laura R., I believe, Leslie W., and Joanne B. Yay. Okay. So Donna W., please share with us and you'll be followed by Laura R. And if you're not Donna W., please press star 1 to mute your phone. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Elaine. This is Donna W., checking in from Palo Alto, California. Grateful for my abstinence and my recovery for today. And yeah, this is an interesting one for me today because I have my own business. I recently published a book and I do a lot of speaking and writing, and I'm starting to have this public persona, you know, which is just, I don't feel like it's like not me. I don't feel like I'm being an actor, but it's just, I'm starting to, you know, I met with somebody today who's like, oh my God, you know, you're so perfect. And it's like, oh my God, if they only knew. And, you know, what I've been dealing with is I believe I have the long COVID challenges. I've been extremely fatigued, extreme brain fog, like just completely barely functional at times. And, you know, not feeling good in my body, filled with self-loathing, gained weight, and, you know, they think I'm perfect. So, you know, I don't need to let them know all my character defects, but it's just interesting seeing this kind of difference in having a public persona. And I don't need to, I was chatting with my husband about it last night, and I'm like, the main thing is humility. Thank God I have program, because I know humility is the answer. And it's humility whether I'm feeling like crap, I still have to have humility. And whether I'm on top of the world, I still have to have humility. So that's my, thought for today is like, I don't need to be the piece of crap at the center of the universe, as I've heard on this meeting. I just need to be another bozo on the bus, trudging this road to happy destiny. And I just need to be in here today being of service and doing the next right thing. And I'm just really praying for you know, mental, physical, emotional, spiritual recovery and health today. I need it on every corner and aspect because it's been a really challenging time for me. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Donna W. And Laura R., you are up next, followed by Leslie W.
Great. Thank you so much. This is Laura, our grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And this is good stuff. First of all, thank God for recovery and more awareness. The longer I'm sober, the longer I'm abstinent, the more I realize how important honesty is, how important it is for you to see me exactly as I am. I made an amends. I know we're on 5, but I made an amends, and this woman said to me, you know, that's okay. We just know that 50% of the time when you say that you're going to do something, you don't. And I'm like, oh, you know, and she said it in a kind way, but like that, you know, I already knew that. I know I don't show up for relationships. I know I bail out of things. I know I'm lazy. One of my big character defects. And it doesn't matter if you know, I know. Now in that circumstance, my friends do know, like I just get tired and I don't feel like it, you know? And so that stuff doesn't fly anymore. It just can't, or else I'm going to eat. You know, this sounds so stupid, but yesterday it's these like little things where my voice tells me, hey, like inside, you need to go do that. And I don't do it. For example, the pool cover yesterday needed to be closed. I didn't want to go flipping downstairs and close the damn pool cover. well, you know what? I did it the last 2 days in a row. The garbage needed to be taken down the hill, and I needed to walk back up, and I didn't want to do it, and I could have blamed my husband for not doing it. No, I got to do it today. And it sounds stupid, but those are the things I didn't do. Sorry, my kids. Those are the things I didn't want to do before. I didn't do before. I shoved it down, and I just wasn't a woman of integrity. And today, because of God and this program, I'm learning one day at a time to suit up, show up, you know, and man up and do it anyway. And even though it's not, but, you know, after I finish, it's like, oh, my gosh, I can feel proud of who I am. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Laura R. Okay, Leslie W. is up next, followed by Joanne B.
Thank you so much for your service, Elaine. I'm Leslie W., recovered compulsive overeater from Knoxville, Tennessee. And I really, this word inconsistency, that's something that really caught my eye because that was my husband's biggest complaint, was you are just so inconsistent, Leslie. And my abstinence was a constant moving target for probably the first 6 years of going to meeting after meeting after meeting in Overeaters Anonymous. Like, it kept changing. My abstinence kept changing. I kept redefining it. I kept trying to find little ways to sneak certain foods in, certain behaviors, and justify it. And, you know, I really couldn't be counted on. I really had a reputation for being gung-ho about something, like, I'm all in, let's do it, yeah, okay. And then I just fizzle out, you know, and my feelings would take over. And, you know, like the previous person that shared just talked about how if I didn't feel like it, I'm not going to do it. Like, I would come up with some excuse as to why I couldn't show up for whatever it was that, you know, I needed to show up for. And so today, yeah, I would say that's changed, you know. And I think that my husband would agree with me. You know, when I ask him when he's busy at work and I say, and I what can I do to help you? He's like, you're doing it. Like, you're taking care of the house and the kids, and you're not I'm not having to drag you through life. You're not a wreck. You know, I was just a wreck all the time, and I expected everyone else to pick me up and carry me through life, and that's just not the case anymore. Thank God. Thank God for this process and for recovery, and with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Leslie W. And Joanne B. is up next. And we may have time for one more share after Joanne. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thanks for your service. I'm Joanne B. from Texas, recovered compulsive overeater. And first of all, I'm just so glad to get to come to a live meeting and to hear your voices in person, really. I've not been able to come because my husband's been ill, but thank you for being here every day and recording. And I appreciate the shares today. My mind is like, well, I need to just speak up just because I've been gone so long. And then I'm thinking, well, what am I going to say? So I really don't know. But I want to thank those who've gone before me today because I don't know about anyone else, but when I get out of the routine of being live, you know, even though we're on the phone, it's kind of interesting how past behaviors, and some of us even, we can even call them food behaviors in a sense, of the isolation takes over. And so that's why I try to make this effort. But hearing some of what was already said, I appreciate, because, for example, I stay home by myself most of the time, and I do fine as long as I'm not with people, right? And so, you know, that's the joke. That's my joke. And so I don't get to see myself in that self-will in a negative way because I'm working my day, right? And so I appreciate what has been said. And this inconsistency, I too went through life with depending on my husband or others to, I don't know, to kind of fulfill me, I suppose. And what's so exciting is that I am now learning on a daily basis more and more how to just live life as higher power would have me. And just recently, and I've been in recovery for a while, but just recently, I found myself thinking, I don't want to do something, and I've got to do this or this. And then all of a sudden it was, why do you have to do it? Why not I get to do it? And it was like a whole change has come over me. I get to do the dishes, or I get to water the garden, or I get to, and these things I'm doing for my husband, who normally would have done the garden or work on the house or whatever it is. Anyway, so I'm so grateful to hear you all talk about life and how, thank you. And with that, I think I'll pass, but thank you.
Thank you very, very much. And we do have time for 1 2-minute share, if somebody would like to take that.
Tamara C.
Tamara C., it's all yours. Please share with us. 2 minutes. Thank you.
Okay. Good morning. This is Tamara C., recovered in
California. Alexa, stop!
That's not me. Someone's unmuted. What this paragraph brought up for me, especially the part, let's see, he trembles to think someone might have observed him, and he's under constant fear and tension. This reminded me of how important step 5 was for me. And one thing that came up for me in sharing my fourth step with my sponsor was I shared with her that, I don't know why it got started or how it got started, but I have lived my life with this constant imagination that I'm being observed by the universe and that I'm being judged negatively, and that I just go through my day constantly thinking, what would people think of this, and afraid of acting in a certain way that I would be judged negatively for. And so doing step 5 brought me a lot of healing in this area, just letting my real self be seen completely by another human being and to be met with understanding and acceptance and love. It really brought healing. And I was realizing this morning, reading this paragraph, wow, I don't do that anymore. I get to just go through my day and just be with me and my higher power and not the whole universe watching me in my imagination. And what a gift, what a miracle that God is doing for me through these steps, and especially step 5. So it's worth it. Thank you. I'll pass with that.
Thank you so much, Tamara C., and thank you everybody who has shared. We're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So will Nancy L. please read A Vision for You for us?
Yes, thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. I pass.